Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 81, Pastor Lot's Hearing Problem. Today is Saturday, January 17th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 81, Pastor Lot's Hearing Problem. Pastor Lot's Hearing Problem. Pastor Lot's Hearing Problem. Turn up the volume. This is such a good message. You can tell that it really spoke to me. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, in Minnesota, where it has been about 30 below zero for a week. Yeah, but we are warm at heart here. And it's in the USA. Now, Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota or Western Wisconsin, actually, wherever you live, if you want to come to Pastor Paul's mission, you're welcome. If you're living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you qualify to register your household for monthly groceries. You say, well, how do you do that? You call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register over the phone. And you can get groceries monthly this Monday, Dr. Martin Luther King's holiday. So be sure to call us on Tuesday to register your household, and you'll be able to come in on Wednesday and celebrate and have a great holiday. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation. Now, for Pastor Lott's benefit, I'm going to say that again, a little bit louder. Okay. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. We need your support. You can also send us a check. Let me say it again. Send us a check, Pastor Lott. Pastor Lott, I found in today's message, was quite a businessman. He was the nephew to Abraham, and the message is really, really good. You're going to get a lot out of it. It's very spirited. Pastor Paul really emphasizes a lot of different things in this message, and you're going to really get a lot out of it. Join the community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, where you can leave your comments, Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, where you can share your photos and you can see some of Pastor Paul's mission's historic photos. They go back to 1984, probably before some of you were born. Hello. I'm hoping I have some young listeners. Young people love Pastor Paul and his messages, believe me. So word of mouth, tell your friends. The podcast, you can link directly and subscribe to the podcast. Now, the podcast is usually posted on Fridays. So today we're a little bit late. So what you want to do is you want to subscribe to the podcast so it comes directly to you, and then you won't have to go to the blog checking, because I know 1 week of not hearing a message, by the time Friday comes, you're like, where is the message? Where is the message? Where is the message? I need to hear it, because we are ready for a message, aren't we, by Friday? I know I am. Now, what I've been doing, too, is you can follow me and I'll follow you on Twitter. And what I've been doing, I call it ringside. Follow me on Twitter. And while I am recording Pastor Paul's message, because I'm actually taking Pastor Paul's message from a cassette tape, I'm recording it, digitizing it, and putting it in together with an intro like this. And you can always fast forward if you don't want to listen to me ramble, although I really would like you to listen to the messages and, I mean, the announcements and you know, the links are important. So I'll try to be quicker. Where am I now? I lost my three. Oh, yeah, Twitter. So what I'm doing, which is kind of fun for me, and I think it would be fun for you as well, you can go follow me on Twitter when I'm recording the podcast and I'm doing kind of a play-by-play what's happening. For instance, now, today, this is a good one. Okay, I Twittered, and in this message today, Pastor Paul said, Lucifer has a twin brother, Misifer. Is that good? So I Twittered about that. Another Twitter here is, this is the kind of message people do not want to hear. They want to hear a prosperity message or a flowered up ABC simple message. That was another Twitter. There's another Twitter. Uncle Abraham came through for Lot and saved him. Then Lot went back to Sodom again to business as usual, because Lot had prosperous businesses. That is really good in here. Wait till you hear that. So anyways, I'm going to wrap this up. And okay, to YouTube, be sure to go and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check out some videos. You can also make a comment at the comment line. That's 1-715-808-0318. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. Always email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org, and I'll leave special links here to the podcast. And be sure to check out the scriptures. The links to the scriptures I have at the show notes, so check those out, because while you're listening to the message, do not fumble through your Bible trying to look them up. Just listen to the message and then go to the show notes and go to the links and then read afterwards. And be sure to tell your friends. I'm kind of counting on people, word of mouth, telling each other about Pastor Paul's messages and that they're really good. And be sure to join us next Friday, episode 82. And this one is good. Let's shoot all our arrows. So have a great week, and I hope it's filled with joy and gladness, which is what this episode's about. God bless you, and we'll see you back here next Friday.
Tonight's message is entitled, Pastor Lot's Hearing Problem. How's your hearing lately? And who have you been hearing from lately? Before we start, let's examine our own hearing problems, and let's start out with a self-examination here tonight in Psalm 50 and 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Listen to this. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. God has to get our attention. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. If you aren't going to hear me, what's the use in talking? And if you aren't going to hear this message tonight, what's the use in even preaching? Because Jehovah speaks, and they are avowedly his own people, they are bound to give earnest heed. And when the preacher gives out the word of God, and when the Bible gives out the word of God, and God commands us to give, and so on like that, and we are avowedly his own people, then we are bound to take earnest heed. Let me speak, says God. Do you do all the talking? You ever pray and you do all the talking and never wait for an answer? So many times we just pray and we just say, well, oh, this and that and so on and so on. We get all hyped up on what we're saying and how we say it. And we never really come to getting an answer from God. We don't want to wait on God. And so we go to someone and they say, well, what's God saying to me? They don't know what's God saying to you. You have to wait on the Lord. God says the heavens and earth are but my listeners. And then it goes on, the Lord is about to testify and to judge. How would you like it if your kids did all the talking and all the planning? You're God's children. But so much ministry right now has the people doing all the talking and all the planning. How would you like it if your kids did that? Okay, Mom and Dad, we're going to move. Head them up, roll them out, let's get out of here. Would you stand for it? Would you? Me and Judy made plans, Mom and Dad. We want to move over here. We want to do this. We want to go to a different school. Would you like that? No, of course you wouldn't, but that's what we're doing to our Father. And if we never received any direction from God or any judging of our actions, O Israel, I will testify against thee. Don't you testify against your children? I thought I told you to do your room. Think about it. God many times testifies against us, just your heavenly Father's testifying against you. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. Doesn't it say that he chastens those that he loves? And even in the scripture, it's mentioned, the covenant name is mentioned to give point to the address. And so you see, it has a double evil, that the chosen nation should become so carnal, so unspiritual, so false, so heartless to their God. And that's many times how us as Christians, we become so unspiritual and so carnal and so false and so heartless to our God. And so we have a testimony and a testifying against us, a judging by God. God himself, whose eyes sleep not, who is not misled by rumors. Aren't you glad that God doesn't listen to rumors? A lot of times we like to give a rumor. You know, God, what this person has done and so on like that. And I don't want to be a God. And they start gossiping to God. But you see, God sees for himself. And here he enters in as a witness against this favored nation, his favored nation. Wow, I thought, for when God, even our fathers, God testifies to the hypocrisy of the visible church. I am God, even thy God. And I believe God is speaking to us right now in this very end time here about feeding the poor and about hearing about the unsaved. And then one more scripture comes to my mind before we get into the life of Lot. And I'm sure before we start here, when I give this Psalm 51 and 8, that Lot felt a lot like David did later in his life. And here it is. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Now, I like that. Make me to hear it. He wouldn't hear it before, but you know, it gets kind of lonesome when you don't hear from God. Make me to hear, oh God. I remember when you used to speak to me. I remember when I had that feeling all over my whole body, that anointing of that hearing. And so he prays about his sorrow here late in the psalm. And he began at once with his sin. He asked to hear pardon. And then he says, after I hear pardon, I want to hear joy. And after I hear joy, I want to have comfort. And so he was asking at the right time, and he was asking at the right source. You see, our ears and his ear here has become heavy from sinning. And so he prays, make me to hear. And there's so many of us right now that need to pray to God, make me to hear what you're saying, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Make me to hear, oh God. Make me to hear. Make me to hear. A lot of times we think we're hearing, and we get into studies, and we get into this, and we get into that, but we're not hearing from God. Because even though that we go to church and we hear all this, yet we don't hear all this, we go out and do the very opposite of what we were supposed to hear. So it shows me we're not really hearing what God is saying at all. Make me to hear, O God. That means, God, open me up so I can hear what you're saying. Say amen, somebody. Make me to hear. Don't you want God to make you to hear? Ooh. See, no voice here could revive his dead joys. You ever have dead joys? You have the joy of the Lord all over, and you were just so happy and you were so full of joy. Then some kind of sin come into your life. Maybe you got angry. Or maybe you judged someone. Or maybe you got into gossip and you had a gut ache over it. You know what I mean? That's sinning. And so we get outside of God with all this sinning. Or maybe we didn't do our job, and maybe we sloughed off. Is that a good word? Yeah, I think it's a good word. We're going to use that word, sloughed off. Slothfulness. And we just halfway did our job, and we don't feel good about ourselves. We only do half a job. And God gives you a job to do. You do it with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. You put your whole person into it. And if you don't do that, it's a lie against the truth. And we need to pray, make me to hear, oh God. Make me to hear what you want me to do. A lot of times we don't want to hear God because God tells us something to do. We don't want to do it. Amen, somebody. We just don't want to do it. And even though that we know the truth, we don't want to hear it. So we got to pray, God, make me to hear. So anyway, getting back to this, maybe you openly sinned. I don't know, maybe you're on the radio, there's tape, maybe someone in here, I don't know. Openly sin, and you have that low down feeling, that gut feeling, that lostness. You don't feel that joy anymore. You got dead joy. Well, you still got joy inside, but it's dead. What good is a joy that's dead? That's like a dead dog. And so you have this joy, but it's a dead joy. And so there is no voice that can revive the dead joys, but that which quickeneth the dead. And oh, when God speaks to us, we get back that peace, and we get back that joy, and we get back that through the forgiveness, no matter what it is. All the way from gossip to open wantingly going out and wantingly sinning. And when we get that joy back again, doesn't that make you appreciate God? If you're sitting here tonight, or if you're listening on the radio or to this tape, and you have lost the joy of the Lord, there's so many people lost the joy of the Lord. My God, they have just lost it. And so they run from here, they run over here to this meeting over here, and they try to get the joy over there, and then over to brother so-and-so's over here, try to get the joy over there, and they try to get the joy over here, and that's all right. But if you're going there to find something, you better ask the Lord to open up your ears, because you're deaf wherever you go. Say amen, somebody. It's not a person. It's all by grace. And you got to pray that the grace of God opens up your ears, or you'll become dead. And you need to be quickened by the Holy Ghost to hear. And so that dead joy starts to resurrect. And oh, doesn't that feel good when you start to bubble again? When you get right with God again. Maybe you got somebody you said something against. Maybe you need forgiveness somewhere. And you start, this man tonight that I was ministering to, I know God sent him to my table. He sat down with me. He was sitting on the edge. He only had this much room. And what I was looking at was dead joy. He needed a reviving, hallelujah. He needed a quickening from the dead. How many have felt that spiritually dead feeling of your joys? Totally no joy. And so someone asks you, how are you feeling? Great, wonderful. You ain't lying. Oh, man, it's a lie. You're feeling lousy. Why are we feeling lousy? Because we have lost, are you hearing? Now, this is a message about hearing, so naturally I'm going to be on your case about hearing. My God, come on now. You got to hear the message. Pray that God quickens you and opens your ears up. They're stuffed. Because if they weren't, I'll tell you how you can tell a person's ears are opened up. The Spirit of the Lord tells them that they're going to be tempted before they're tempted. Today, temptation is going to come your way. Today, you're going to be tempted by this, or tempted by that, or an R-rated movie, or an X-rated movie, or this, or that, or that. Now your ears are open. Now, what are you going to do about it when it comes? That's the next thing. I'll tell you what will happen. If you overcome, God is going to quicken your joy. You're going to have a double portion of joy. Say amen, somebody. That's what God is going to give you. He's going to wake up that joy. He's going to resurrect that joy. And there's going to be a joy in the Spirit. How many hearing this? Woo-hoo! Talk after the message. Talk after the message. You won't hear nothing if you got nothing. Someone whispered in your ear, you won't hear it. See, that's not letting God open up your ears. Say amen, somebody. We're so alive to what the world is saying. Where are you going to go after? The McDonald's? Where are you going to, huh? No, that's not a quickening of the Spirit. That's a quickening of the flesh. You might as well just leave your flesh at home. And I tell you, someone coming in the flesh is a drag and a bore, and they shouldn't even come. Say amen, somebody. You just got to get people in the spirit of things. They aren't going to enjoy one single solitary thing until you can get their mind off themselves. That is the most boring drag that ever was to somebody sitting in their nasty old self. Now say amen, somebody. And the reason they're that way is because they don't have that joy. It's dead. Amen. I don't care how they smile. It's just a dead joy, and that's where Christianity is right now. And I'm glad I'm saying that. I might drop dead before I get out of here. But glory to God, it's a dead joy. And that's a whole lot of Christians walking around trying to act like they got something. They look like the fox in the well. You know what I mean? Trying to get out. See, a pardon from God would give him double joy. It says in here, a joy and gladness. Woo! A joy and gladness. Well, don't you want that? Now, naturally, everybody listening on the radio and tape, everybody sitting out there thinks I'm talking exactly to them. Well, it could be Spirit God's dealing with you and let it happen. Say amen. But I'll tell you right now, you're going to have a double joy, a joy with gladness. Now, I do want to have flotation. You know what flotation is? It's when you have a joy with gladness. It's sort of like power glide, you know? It's joy with gladness, joy with gladness. It's joy with gladness. Don't you want it? How do you want it? Put your hands up and go for it. That means you're going to have to do what's right. Lose your life to gain it. Okay, he shall have not only double blooming joy, but he shall hear it. Today, man came in downstairs and he was servicing our machine. He was from Pitney Bowes. And he was in there and I just felt the Spirit of God all over that place. And God was saying, witness this man, lead him in. And so after he got done fixing this machine, we were having a whole lot of fun there just talking and talking back and forth and so on. And then I said, do you have Jesus as your personal Savior? He says, well, I've always been kind of happy. I don't know. And so we prayed him in. And you know what he said? Listen to what he said right after that he got saved. He says, you know something? What did he say now? He says, do you know something? He says, I have a peace. And he kind of looked like, no, he says, first he said, you know what? You've made my day. But it was him speaking, but it wasn't speaking him because it was a new man, the new spirit inside speaking. And he looked kind of weird. And out of his innermost being came this. And he says, you know what? You've made my day. Uh-huh. And I was looking at him, and I had this sort of unbelief in my eyes, because every time somebody gets saved, and the spirit, the brand new spirit inside that's been locked in there in that dungeon since the eons of time, glory to God, Jesus says, I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded, was free. And then right away he backed off kind of like this. He says, you know what? And this guy didn't know nothing about God. He says, you know what? I feel relaxed. I'm in flotation now. I feel relaxed. Joy, blooming joy with gladness. Whew. Don't you want that? Oh, don't you want it? No, you didn't hear that. Don't open up your ears. Pray, God, open up your ears. My God, say, God, make me to hear joy and gladness. Now, joy and gladness are right out. Here's joy. You know, it's just jumping around. And gladness, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. But if you don't hear them, it ain't going to do you no good. And you're still going to be sucking on a bottle. And you're still going to have your own habits because you don't have that blooming joy. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Joy and gladness are spirits. Maybe you didn't know that. Spirit of joy. Spirit of gladness. Now, I know there's some people in here who haven't got the spirit of joy and spirit of gladness because their face just looks like frumpty dee dee doo. Say amen, somebody. And that's because you're not hearing joy and gladness. And you won't hear them till you obey God. You won't. Until you obey God. Well, what do you mean obey God? Go to a prayer meeting? No, do your job. When you go to your job, do your job. When you pray, mean it. When you read your Bible, say, God, give me the grace to understand this. Now, don't do anything on your own. I'm learning that when I wake up in the morning, I pray like this. God, give me the grace to receive your grace for the day. See, I need God's grace to receive his grace. God, give me grace to receive. No, God, give me grace to receive your grace for the day. I just want to make sure I get it, okay? Do you have grace? You can't do it on your own. You can't wake up and say, tomorrow's going to be different. I'll show you, devil. You know, you aren't going to show the devil one thing by yourself. He knows you inside out, upside down, hey. But you got to say, grace of God, give me grace to see the devil when he comes. Give me grace to get your grace and just go on like that with God and believe God. And God will give you the grace to do everything right. According to what you know right now. Someone else will show you all your mistakes, but God says, well, you're only a little teeny, nonny, neeny, nooner, see? So that's as much as you know, and I'm going to be glad for that. Say amen. See, everybody isn't at the same level, all right? Some people are walking around with a dirty blue blanket and their thumb in their mouth, and that's the way it is, and God's happy with them until they grow up a little bit, but they still have to pray for grace, too. Give me grace. Give me grace. Well, go ahead on, and you're going to have it. I want to hear this. God, hear it. That's why so many people are so miserable. But you see here, joy shall sing with exaltation. The spirit of joy is going to exalt Jesus. You ain't just going to have joy so you're happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Look at me, my feet. Don't miss it. Spiritual joy exalts the Lord. And when you exalt the Lord, something's going to happen with you. Oh, I'm so full. Oh, burp, 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 burp. Full. And you go right outside the church and drop dead again. Are you hearing this? Oh, God. I know I'm getting to you folks on the radio and to this. I know it. And everything I've said it, and I'm glad. You got it? Joy with exaltation. Know what that is? That's woo-hoo! Then you kind of look around and surprise yourself, see? Oh. Where did that come from? That come out of me? Well, you're surprised to everybody else, too, because usually you're so frumpy looking, see? But you prayed for it, and you said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Don't you think the spirit of joy has got a lot to tell you about yourself that will make you happy? The spirit of joy wants to tell you things that will make you joyful. And there's gladness over here, and this spirit wants to tell you some things that will make you glad. It's up to you. It's up to you. Well, you see, some joy is felt and not heard, for it contends with fears. There's a lot of joy that has fears with it. Oh, you can have some kind of joy, and all your friends come, you know, and they say, oh, come on, we're down here. No, but none of the other Christians will see us, and we'll just go down and we'll do this thing down here. But there's a fear. So it's a kind of a joy, but there's a fear mixed with it. Why? Because it's not of God. There's a fear mixed with it because it's not of the Lord. Well, you're talking about people when they just sin? No, I mean, even if they're not believing, that's sin. And when they start to feather out and they start to die. You ever see a Christian that's so beautiful and they start to die? Oh my God, that is so pitiful. They have not called on the joy and gladness. And they start to die, and they start to start to back off. Oh, God, that is sad. When you see an alive Christian backing off, they need to say, make me to hear, oh, God, I'm getting deaf. And when you get deaf in the spirit, you start opening up to the world. Now, you young people hear me. You start going out for jobs now. There's going to be a whole lot of people trying to get a hold of you and get you just all full of the joy of the world. Ain't going to, hey. Then you'll start slacking off. Oh, I'm hitting somebody. Somewhere, somehow, through the radio or tape or it. I don't know. But this is hitting some, and I hope it does. Because when you start backing off and you get away from the Spirit and you back off from the Spirit of joy and gladness, you're going to hear the joy and gladness of the world. And that's not going to make you happy because it's going to have fears connected to it. Say amen, somebody. And you're going to lay awake at night. You're not going to be sleeping. Even your smile won't even come out right. It'll come out sort of crooked. Huh? I say, how do you know that? Because I backed off. I might back off two or three times a day, but I know enough to hurry up and get back. And that's where the gladness and the joy of the Lord. But the joy and the pardon, you hearing this, people? The joy and the pardon is louder than the voice of sin. The joy, now, God's joy and God's gladness is loud. It will drown out sin. Sin gets quiet when the Spirit of the Lord is around, and especially when He sends the Spirit of joy and the Spirit of gladness to someone that has fallen into sin and deadness. And when you're quickened in your spirit again, oh, glory to God, you wonder why you ever left the Spirit of joy and gladness for such a dead, putrid thing itself. Now, how many heard that? Did you hear it? Put your hand up. Well, maybe you didn't want to hear it, so you don't want to put your hand up. I don't believe it. I'm slipping back into the land of Ooblah-Dee where they make their houses out of scotch tape and clarinet reeds, eh? You know, it's just so much truth in what I'm preaching right here tonight. My God, devil, do you hear me? Here we have God's voice speaking peace. And it is the sweetest music an ear can hear. Oh, God, when you lose your peace, and then you're feeling so down, and you're feeling like a reject, and you left God down. Oh, God will never have me back. You know what it is? It's pride. Here I was, such a great Christian. Onward, Christian soldiers, huh? And you felt like you left God down, and you just feel so yucky and so beside yourself. Because you're not beside anybody else, you're beside yourself. Self is much alive, and so the one that's next to you is self. That's why the world says, I was beside myself. That's miserable company, self. Did you know that? And so you get beside yourself, and you feel so yucky down inside. You feel like you let God down. You feel like God could never use you again. And you say, oh God, I'm sorry. Make me to hear. You may not say those same words, but that's what you're asking for when you're down in your spirit. Oh, God, I want to hear from you. Saying the same thing. And you know, all of a sudden, you don't know how it happens, but the Spirit of joy is on you. When you decide to turn around. No, it's nobody's fault that your face is the way it is. It's because you have to decide to turn around. So you have to turn around and face God. And by the way, if you want to face God, then you're going to find the Spirit of joy and the Spirit of gladness. And you're not going to see Him until you turn around. That's all it is. Repenting is turning around. And talking to the Spirit of God. How many heard that? And you know something? All of a sudden, you'll start to get, you won't even know it, but all of a sudden you're happy inside. You say, well, I sinned against God and everything, but I got joy. Now, there's a fatal mistake of a lot. Oh, then God still loves me and I can go on and do some more sins. Now, I remember how you felt. Don't forget this point over here, how lousy you felt. Because the mistake is that, see, God still is anointing me. I witnessed to someone, they got saved, and I did this and that and that. Huh? Oh, watch it. Watch it. God's mercy endureth forever. But watch it. Say amen, somebody. So you got to remember, once you came from over here, and you can't fool God. Oh, God still loves me. And, oh, well, you know, and I'll sin again. Yeah, He'll put up with it. He'll wink at it. Hey. Remember how lousy you felt. And then you're going to say, devil, I do not want to feel that way again. Forget it. Say amen. And you know what? You start to get the joy back and you start to get the gladness back. How many got free on that one? I know some people in here got free on that one. I do. I did. How many got free? You didn't get free on that one? Come on, put your hands. You got free. You had to believe. That was the truth. Say amen, somebody. Whew. You listening on our radio, raise your hands up if you got free on that one. Yeah, set the Pepsi Cola down and listen. And listen to what he says, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, when you are not right with God, don't you feel like your bones are broken? Your arms hang down, you can't use them, it's like they're broken. And your legs barely move, and your mouth doesn't move too good either. I mean, your mouth even hangs down. And your eyes hang down, and your ears hang down. I mean, it's hang down your head, Tom Dooley. You're hanging down. Your hang mouth, hang arm, hang leg, hanged eyes, hanged eared, hang your head down, hang everything. How many are hearing this? Because it's like bones, and they ache. Your bones ache when you're outside of the joy and the gladness. Your bones even ache. How many of your bones ache when you're not right with God? You're just sort of stiff and crankety. Ooh, ow, ooh, ee, ooh, ow. Let me read that scripture again. God, that's a good scripture, ain't it? That the bones which thou hast broken, God broke your bones. That's why you're feeling that way. Here he is like a poor wretch whose bones are crushed, but not crushed by ordinary means, but by God. How many hearing this? Not mere flesh wounds, but spiritually he felt aborted. How many heard that one? And so having said all that, let's enter into the life of Lot. How many want to hear the life of Lot tonight? Who had a hearing problem. And I said all of that so that you could receive the life of Lot. You could understand why he was the way that he was. One reason I'm going to talk on this character tonight is that I believe he is very representative of man. Hard of hearing. How many are hard of hearing at times? I know I am. When it comes to God's direction, we get hard of hearing. Doesn't he fit the manna today? Yes, he does. And where you find one Joshua or Abraham or Daniel or Elijah, you'll find 1,000 Lots. You know, in the Bible it shows he started out very well, but you know what happened to him? He got rich. And then sometimes when people get rich, that's the beginning of all their troubles. The Bible says he and his uncle Abraham both went down to Egypt and they came away very rich. Now the next thing we hear in the Bible, they're both arguing. It says the herdsmen were arguing. Isn't it funny when we get everything and we start to get a whole lot of things and we start to accumulate a whole lot of things? Things run smooth until we start getting a whole lot of stuff. Then we start to argue with what we're going to do with our stuff. That could happen right here in this mission. We get a whole lot of food, and then we start arguing, well, what should we do with it all? Isn't that true in your own lives? You get a whole lot of things, and then you start arguing what you're going to do with the things. Things were going so well when you didn't have anything. But here we have Abraham, and Abraham says, I'm not going to argue with you, Lot. I'm your uncle, and I will not argue with you. Now, that was wisdom from God. And Abraham says, you choose first which way you want to go, right or left or right. And what he was saying was, and I'll wait on God. You do what you want to do, but I'm going to wait on God. And this is where Lot made his first mistake. He should have said, no, you're my uncle, and God has blessed me with you. Or no, you tell me which way I should go. Let's pray, Uncle Abraham, let's pray. But no, he didn't say that, did he? Instead, the Bible said he lifted his eyes and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. And right then and there, he decided in his sight and his greed got the best of him. See, what happens was, he's like a lot of us, he got ambitious and he wanted more. Did he have a little rivalry between him and his uncle? Well, we don't know. Or did he want to become richer faster than his uncle? If he would have asked Abraham, Abraham would have told him what to do. If he would have asked God, God would have told him what to do. But he determined himself, the Bible said, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And he listened to who? He listened to his Adam. And so many times that reminds me of our very selves. We pitch our tents right next to the world. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how long that they stayed out there on the plains, on these rich, green, grassy plains, before they were enticed to go into Sodom. But I kind of got a picture that they were in there, and these people were enticing him. You ever been next to something, and there'll be people that entice you to go in? Maybe they come up and patted him on the back. Boy, you're smart. That's enticement. What a businessman you are, Lot. That's enticement. Everything you touch, old guy, that's enticement. Poor Uncle Abe, he's getting old, you know, and you got these young and new ideas, that's enticement. You're going to be greater. You're going to be richer. You're going to be more famous. Are you hearing this? Maybe even some of the people come up and said, Lot, did you pray about this yet? Did you pray to see whether God wants us to stay out here or to go on in? And then maybe his wife come up and says, should we investigate? I mean, it's up to you. But she plants the seed, see? Should we investigate? Isn't that like a lot of Christians that live right on the lush edges of the world, right on the fringes of Sodom? And they just take a peek in once in a while. Let's take a peek in. And they peek into the world. They live right on the edge. And then they gasp, oh, well, I never. And then they even laugh once in a while. Oh, isn't that awful what the world is doing? And then they wink at one another. And then they smile once in a while. Huh? And you know what? They're sitting so close it starts to get a hold of their imagination. And so they're living right next to this heathen community with all the homosexuals and all the women used in the unnatural sex acts. And isn't the world becoming just like a Sodom and Gomorrah? Isn't it? Even worse. And so they were there and they could hear the music at night. They were enticing themselves. That's just like somebody goes out and they get right next to the jive, see, next to Uncle Sam's down there. Okay. And they could smell the city at night. And they could imagine what was happening. Huh? And they'd hear all the people laughing and all this little, and they'd be listening, and they get the next morning. Well, guess what they said last night? Did you hear this? No, what did they say? I don't want to hear it, but go ahead and tell me, huh? You know what that is? That's enticing yourself. Now listen, if you've come out of something, don't go walking back into the very same thing again and entice yourself. Did you know that? It says, be careful lest you fall into the same trap yourself. So that's like me going into the bar. How many hearing this? That's like going right back into the bar again. Or going right next to the bar, and you're an alcoholic, and you go stand right next to the bar, okay? You know what you're doing in there is wrong? And you keep after it, and you keep after it, and pretty soon you're enticed yourself. Say amen. Maybe someone will offer you, hey, here's a drink. Here's a drink, and here's a drink, and here's a drink, and here's a drink. And come on, have one. Looks like you've had a hard time. It's enticement. It's living right close to the edge, and you have to be careful. Pull yourself back. Say amen, somebody. No. A lot of times before, well, I can witness her, and I can tell these guys, and I can do this, and I can do that. You're living right on the edge. I'm going to hear what I'm saying here tonight. Don't live on the edge. Don't live right on the edge. Don't live right on the edge. God. So many people right now are living right on the edge. And finally, then the spirit of lust starts to come in, see? And then greed start to breathe on their tents. And they nervously broke camp and they headed for the wild. And it's like they were in a trance. Once you're enticed into sin, and they were enticed into sin, I can just see them all trooping out. And let's go over there and just see what it's like over there. We can witness. We'll go in there, and pretty soon they're all tramping out. The world, the world, the world, the world, the world, the world. They're hooked. You recognize when you're hooked? Say amen, somebody. Watch it. When a person comes to me and they say, so-and-so offered me this or that, or they wanted me to get back into this act of sin again, and they tell me that two or three times, they have been enticed. You might even not recognize it yourself, but you've been enticed. Listen to what I'm saying. You have been enticed. How many here have been enticed? That's the time to pull back. Pull back. Pull back. Just pull way back. Because you've been enticed, and so then you're just like the rest of them. You're sort of like in a trance. The world, the world, the world. And they started heading for the world. And they got into the world. And they went in. Oh, we'll go in there and we'll witness. And now, we'll just go in there and walk. Don't look at anybody. Don't snicker. Don't laugh. Just walk in. Onward Christian soldiers and walk right into their camp. And we'll just walk right in there. The world. The world. And you know what? For weeks they had been dying to get into that thing. They had smelled all these smells of the world. They live right next to it. They had heard all that sex talk coming on, and they had ears about this big because they wanted to hear it all. How many are hearing this tonight? God, living right on the edge. What's that mean, living right on the edge? That's like going out with some old girlfriend or some old boyfriend. You know how you were when you were with them before. What makes you think you got any kind of power over them? You got power over them. You want them to sin. Down deep inside, you're looking for it. And you know what? When they got there, they found out that the devil, that Lucifer, has a twin brother. And you know what his name was? Mesifer. And so they were awakened by the spirit of the devil, and they headed off for Sin City Sin. Oh, God. Woo! And so they walked right into this situation, and they fooled themselves. They said all the things that they were going to do, but you know what they did? They walked in there with their eyes closed. They walked right into darkness. You know, when you leave the light, and you have the light of the Lord, and you have this oil of gladness, and you had all these beautiful things happening, and you leave this beautiful, beautiful thing, the joy and the gladness that God has got for you, and you have all this light, and you walk into the dark. How dark is that darkness? Did you ever go into a movie, you come out with a bright sunlight, and you go into the movie, you can't see a thing. Bumping into seats and, oh. Huh? You cannot see a thing. When you take off and you walk into darkness, you are blind. And this person that's enticed you is wide awake, and he knows you're blind. And he knows or she knows exactly what they're going to do with you, and you know what they're going to do with you, and you don't mind. Because you willfully walked into that thing. Say amen, somebody. You know what you're going to lose? Joy and gladness. They are not coming with you. My God, that's why there's so many dead Christians. There's sin going on in the house of God. Say amen, somebody. Whew. I'm going to hear it. I know this isn't a message a lot of people like to hear. My God, they don't want to hear it. They want to hear it teaching ABC 1, 2, 3 on how to get rich. That's all right. They want to hear a hyper-faith message where they just claim everything. They want to hear that, but they don't want to hear any kind of a convicting message. No, not one at all. And they don't even want to hear about getting the joy and the gladness of the Lord back again because they're happy being a fump in the city of Sodom. Now, that's just the way it is. And I think we need to pray for God to hear, so we'll hear again, and we'll hear the Spirit of the Lord, and it'll quicken us in our hearts. Hallelujah. How many hearing this tonight? I pray to God that you hear it. And so he walked in here. It says in the Bible that he had his family. He never had a family altar. He probably said, God, you're not giving me any advice, so I'll just go ahead and I'll get rich fast and I'll move out of here. So it was business first without God. And then it says in the Bible that Sodom went to war. You know who saved his hide? Good old Uncle Abraham come and saved him. You know what he did after he was saved out of this thing? He went right back into the same thing again. He didn't even think of saying, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. And doesn't that remind us of ourselves all the time when we do that? We just don't remember what God has done for us, and we fall right back into the same old stink again. And what we lose is the oil of gladness, and we lose the spirit of gladness and joy. Why is it? Because we just are deaf to hearing the Word of God. We get so puffed up, my God, in what we know. There are so many Bible-believing people. They know every bit of the Word of God, but they don't want to hear a convicting message. They just want to learn more and more and more. And they just, you know, they're spiritual boobs. Say amen, somebody. And I said it, and I'm glad. Now, I know this is the truth. I'm going to say it, and I hope the radio audiences catch this. There's a whole lot of us that are spirit-filled. We're meaner than hell itself. Why is it? We've lost the spirit of joy. Say amen, somebody. When you lose that, I'll tell you something. There's nobody wants to talk to you with a face looking like that. Now, I thought to myself, you think men, when they get into trouble and affliction and sickness and mental depression, that they would leave Sodom, but they won't. Will not go. They can puke on the barroom floor. They can drag them out. They can kick them. They can knock them in their face. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to go right back in there the next night. Say amen. You know why they do? Because there isn't a preacher like me to tell them that they're being fooled by the devil. There's no one that will give them a convicting message to have them turn around. You know why? They don't want to monkey with them. Because a preacher that doesn't have joy and gladness doesn't have it in him, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. He doesn't have the strength to tell them. Oh, just leave them go. They're going to be drunk, and they're going to be homosexuals, and they're going to be lesbians, and they're going to be this all the rest of their life. Just leave them be. They do not have the joy, and they do not have the gladness. And that's what's wrong with the Christian community right now. There's no joy in it, and there's no gladness in it. My God, there's a bunch of frumped out people. Say amen, somebody. And you know why? They're not hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That means that you have the power to overcome sin, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you have enough joy and gladness to give it to someone else. You have enough joy and gladness, you can give it to her, and I can give it to you, and I can give it to you, and I can give it to you, and I don't have to judge. It's not my place to judge. It's not your place to judge. But my God, if someone doesn't preach a message like this, nobody's ever going to get free. They're just going to be all frumped out, sitting around in their own depression, in their own private little dungeon. I'll call it psychoanalyzing if you want to. I don't care. It's the Spirit of the Lord speaking to the church. God. Ooh. And so he went back to Sodom. Oh, thank you, Uncle Abraham. If it wasn't for you, oh, you always come through just on time for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But what did he do? He went right back into the same old thing again. Go on back in. If you don't go back in again, they'll steal you blind. If you don't go back in again, they'll laugh at you. And so sin says, go back in and recover. There's so many people that are in business right now, and they can't leave their businesses. You know why? Because they can't leave them because they think they'll have to follow God. And that's the truth. They'd have to leave the business they're in. Oh, God. God, right now, do we ever need to repent in the house of God? But anyway, here was Lot. And he probably had his name on all these buildings, lot construction, lot theaters, lot enterprises, lot beer gardens, lot whiskey factory, lot flop houses. And he thought to himself, well, after all, I'm just renting these. I don't have nothing to do with them. I have a business manager. I've gotten so big, I don't take care of these things myself. I don't really know what's going on. Yeah, you know what's going on. You don't want to know what's going on because you make your money off of perversion. And how many right now in the churches are making their money? They shouldn't even be into the things they're into. Say amen, somebody. And so time rolls on and on and on. And one evening it says that while he was sitting at the gate, two angels happened by and he recognized them from a previous visit a few years back. He takes these angels down to his house. He begs them in to go to his house. And they get inside of the house and it says that all these demonized people in Sodom were out there. Men were out there masturbating. There were women having sex with women, men having sex with men. And there was all kinds of hell out there. You understand what I'm saying? Just like it is right now. And so all these people were outside. And he decides to go out. He says, wait a minute, don't do that. I got angels in the house. I'll give you one of my daughters. He had two of his daughters at home yet. Because they wanted to have sex with the angels. Let us have those strangers that are in there. We want to have sex with them. And it says that the angels pulled him back into the house real quick before that they could get a hold of him. God, isn't that like it is today? Maybe I thought Pastor Lot was afraid of public opinion. Oh, just stay in church, Pastor Lot. You're saved and filled. But just be careful. Don't be a fanatic old guy. Don't rock the boat. Don't get people's goat. Be careful of Mrs. Doctrine with no life. Be careful of Mrs. Hate to Truth. Be careful of all these people. Be careful. Pastor Lot, preach moderation. Pastor Lot, preach a little wine is all right. Preach science. Preach repent a little. Preach compromise. Preach smile. It'll get better. But Pastor Lot, don't preach any kind of deliverance. Don't preach to people about change. Don't preach to about people about salvation and baptism and the Holy Spirit and water baptism and God wants you to be free. Don't preach that. Don't do it. How many are hearing this tonight? And so as the story goes, here he was and the angel said, hey, this kingdom's coming down. It's falling out, in other words. He says, if you have any people in the city that are your own, you're going to have to get them out. And so they blinded the angels. Lot goes crying down through the streets, and he goes crying down through the streets, and he comes to his daughter's house, and her husband, and the son-in-law's. He knocks on the door, come on, come on, the city's coming, it's falling down. Come on, please, 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 come on. And they laughed at him. They said, get out of here. Go on, you're filthy. You're worse than the rest of us. You brought us up this way, and now all of a sudden you want us to change. And so he goes to another daughter's house, and he goes to another son's house. And it was the same story over and over and over and over again. No one would go. So he goes stumbling through the streets and crying and bawling. He makes it back to the house, and he goes inside. None of them would go. They all were sodomites. All of his children. And so the angel says, come, we got to get out of here. It's gonna fall down. God's going to cause fire. There's going to be fumes of fire. We got to get out of here. And so the angels grab him by the hands, and he takes the wife and the two daughters out, and they're running across these plains. And the wife turns around, and she says, I can't do this. To leave for Jesus Christ, leave all this behind. He says, don't turn around. Once that you pick up the plow, don't turn back. You're not worthy to follow God, the scripture says. And she turns back for one last look, and she turns to a pillar of salt. Imagine turning back, and she's a pillar of salt. And so look at what this life had done for him. Because he left joy, and because he left gladness, and he went open-eyed into what he knew was wrong, and went into Sodom, even though he didn't fall into it himself, all of his children were left. So important, our witness, what we do with our witness. It's so important what we do with our lives, and so that our children look at us and say, look at them. So important that we don't pitch our tents right on the edge of the world. So important that we keep ourselves dedicated to the cause of Christ. So important that we don't fall to every kind of trick the devil has for us. So important, young people, for you not to fall back and to have people, friends, calling you back into sin. Don't allow it to happen. Because you know what will happen. You lose all your joy. You lose all your gladness. But you can have it back, praise God, by saying, God, make me to hear. Make me to hear. And so the end of the story says they were out on the plains and he was with the two daughters and they were all alone. And the daughters got him drunk and they had sex with him. And that was the life of Lot. That's a lot, isn't it? God, do you think he was crying out after that? God, make me to hear. I'm so sorry. He didn't have no family left. He didn't get in with the altar. He didn't get in with anything. And he went off to Sodom. And look what it caused him. How many heard this message tonight? God, that's so important. If you're hearing this message and you've lost your joy and you've lost the gladness because you turned your back on God in some way. And you know what? You can pray right now. God, make me to hear. Make me to hear. Make me to hear. Make me to hear what you want me to do. You know, I know when I'm hearing from God, because I'm down here until like midnight some nights. I'm hearing from God. You know what God's telling me? Saying, Paul, there isn't a whole lot of time left. Don't worry about people that are halfway. Don't worry about people that want to go three quarters of the way. He says, there's enough of them right here that are dedicated to what's going on. Go with them. Don't waste your time with the ones that don't want to go all the way. They don't want to go all the way. They don't want to go all the way. They might turn back and turn to a pillar. They might, hey, just go all the way with the ones that want to go all the way. Warn the people because the hour is short. Now, I know you've heard that a lot of times, but the hour is short. Don't you feel that in your own spirit? Don't you? I do. The hour is short. It says it'll be like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it certainly is that way right now, isn't it? Is there a minute to waste? Is there a minute to disobey God in what we're doing down here on the north side as a mission? Is there 1 minute to waste? Is there 1 minute to get into conversation? You and other ministries that are in the same thing we are you sitting around in a group saying what's wrong with what you're doing? How about saying what's right? Are you coming against your leaders? What a stupid thing to do. Is that what you're doing, you on the radio and listening to this tape? Is that what you're doing? I'm feeling that spirit coming from you right on the radio and tape, and you're all sitting around coming against your own ministry? Is that all you have to do? You know what you just did? You lost all of your joy, and you lost all of your gladness. Is it worth the price? No, it's not worth the price. Now I'll tell you something I'm learning more and more of every day. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged. For in the manner that you judge, so shall ye be judged. So God is telling us right now to give all of mercy. And if you have the spirit of joy and you have the spirit of gladness and you give it away, you know what'll happen? You'll make the spirit of joy and the spirit of gladness joyful in you and glad in you, and you're going to be gladder and you're going to be more joyful because you'll get it back pushed down, packed together, and running over. Say amen, somebody. Ooh, if you have that feeling because you fell down somewhere in your spiritual walk, and you have that feeling, say, God, make me to hear. God, open up mine ears so that I can hear tonight. Open up my ears so I can tell what the Spirit is saying to the mobile church, me. And you're going to have that spirit of joy and that spirit of gladness. And my God, that is a wonderful thing to have in this day and age when everything is out, down, falling down. This worldly kingdom falling down. It's falling down, people. It isn't even worth arguing about. It needs to be prayed about, not to argue about. And I think this, and I think that, blah. Say amen. Pray for this mission. Pray for it. Sister, I am so glad that you're in church today. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ is setting you free tonight. Say amen, somebody. And I'm pointing to her because she's in the same bag that I was. God is delivering her. And don't you listen to none of your friends and then the sodomites out there calling. And don't pitch too close to their tent. Move out on them, friends, and move as far away as you can get. They're out there. Yoo-hoo! Those are familiar spirits calling on you. Isn't that right? And they're out there juggling on that bottle. With that bottle. Huh? Oh, God. Take that and break that thing. Say amen, somebody. Break it. Throw it in a heap. Get rid of it. Say, I'm all done with the dunghill. I'm going God's way, and I'm going for the spirit of joy and the spirit of gladness. You know what? God will fill you to overflowing, and you'll have the power to overcome through obeying God. Hallelujah. Woo! Are you hearing it? Praise the Lord. Woo! You better believe this old pastor is going to be challenging people. Challenging people. No more excuses. When I see a little lamb sort of wandering and pulling back. How many have seen people that are wandering? You know they're falling back. How many know that? You've seen Christians. Maybe somebody you know real well right now is pulling back because they pitched their tent too close to Sodom. And they're hearing that music. Da 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 da. Move away from it. You can't hear it no more. Until the spirit of joy and the spirit of gladness are making so much noise they drown out the devil. Says in the Bible that in the end times many seducing spirits will be loose, seducing sexual spirits, all kinds of spirits will be loosed from the pit. By who? God. Say amen. And God loves you so much that he wants to judge you. He wants to testify against you, just like you testify against your children. Now, come here. I want to tell you what you did wrong today. Isn't that a testimony against them? Number one, you didn't do your room. Did you? Number two, you didn't take care of your books. You left them in the front room all over the house. Number three, I told you not to watch TV. I came in the house. You're watching TV. Are you testifying against him? Are you? Why are you doing that? Because you want them to change. Say amen. Amen. God has got a testimony and he's testifying against us right now. You haven't done your job. You haven't ministered to the poor. You haven't received the spirit of joy and the spirit of gladness. You're sort of hanging back. And don't you tell your own kids, what are you so hang face about? Stop walking around like that. Stop complaining and put that lip back in your face. Did you ever tell, how many told their kids that? Huh? Haven't you? Haven't you told your kids that when they're walking? What are you bawling about? No, shouldn't we tell each other that? What happened to your face? And you know what? When you minister like this and you minister to those spirits get mad at you. Hey, they're mad on the radio right now. Those spirits actually, I know you guys will be calling me and I know I'll get letters on this one. I know I made you angry tonight and I am glad God has a testifying against such stink. Say amen, somebody. Amen. And it makes them mad because it challenges that old spirit down in church. Huh? You know what they call that? You call it deliverance. That's what you call deliverance. And I'm just going to keep preaching the same way and my God until people get delivered. You hear it, devil? Delivered from the alcohol, delivered from drugs, delivered from sexual things outside of God. Delivered. Are you hearing this? Delivered. And delivered so that they know that God is a forgiving God and they can be forgiven, my God, and they can have the joy and the gladness of the Lord, and that is it. And we're not going to put up with frumpy old faces and say, why don't you turn yourself into the Lord and get the gladness and the joy of Jesus and stop complaining, my God, you're making me sick with that face. You're turning off people that would be saved with that ugly face of yours. Change it. Go call on the Lord for help. Repent. Turn around. Give up. Move out of Sodom. But my God, go all the way with Jesus. Or shut your face up and go hide in Sodom till you're ready and good and sick of all that sin and come on back out and call on the Lord and say, help me, Lord. Help me to hear. Say amen, somebody. How many understood this message tonight? My God, we're going to have change in the house of God. Yes, we are. I said tonight's message, I'm glad, I hope the Spirit of God witnessed to you. You don't have to walk around hang face. Say amen, somebody. Woo! Woo! Okay, is there anybody in here right now that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You can have him tonight. Maybe someone listening on the radios to this tape. There isn't a whole lot of time right now. You can't be wasting time. It says now is the time for salvation. So many times a person tells me, you know, I didn't get a witness to witness. Now that's not even, that isn't even scriptural. That's not scriptural because it says minister in season, out season, when it's handy, when it ain't handy. It also says now, today, is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not when you think you're getting a witness. Not when the 13 goose pimples ripple up on your elbow. No. No. It's simply obeying God. Preach the word in season, out of season, handy or not handy. And now is the time for salvation. Now. Is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus? Anybody? Okay, then I'm going to ask for two quick testimonies that will probably set someone free out there that's listening on the radio, something to set you free tonight, some kind of a thing. Okay, John.
Well, I had a cold for a little while, and I was kind of getting in myself, and my countenance was just going really bad, and I got delivered because the Lord was showing me, you know, I was getting into myself, and he was correcting me, you know, things I was doing, what I wasn't supposed to be doing, and things like that. Yeah. He was showing me.
Yeah. You know, you really got the Spirit of the Lord on you, and don't let someone come up and tell you you have. You know what I mean? There's always people that come up and, you know, hey, we're praying for you, John, and they need prayer themselves, okay? How many heard that tonight? My God, John, you're on the right track, and stay there, will you? And one thing I want you to keep doing, John, don't deaden out. If there's someone else that's deadened out, don't you? You just got the Spirit of God on you. You're moving ahead just fine, and you got the gladness and the joy of the Lord, and don't let somebody frump you out and pull you back, okay? I just felt impression to say that to you. I was thinking about you today, and I thought, God, he is going along so great, and somebody will just, oh, it's always somebody that will try to, oh, huh? You know what I mean? Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. You got it. You just keep on going the way you're going. You're going fine. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got a word? Huh? Something that sets you free tonight. Something that'll help somebody else.
Just really ministered to me that we have joy all the time. It's just that it's dead sometimes because we're not listening to the right voice, you know, and I get into that too. I listen to the wrong voice. Sure. And it's good to know that the joy is in me and all I have to do is turn around.
Yeah. Just turn around, face it. Face the truth and the truth will set you free. Anybody else? Oh, right over here. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm encouraged. I ain't kidding you. I am.
The way you spoke tonight about our personalities, you know, about getting angry, whatever, you hit me to a T this last week. I mean, to a T. And then when you said something about just, you know, repent and ask for forgiveness and whatever else, like you told me to do with my boss and stuff. I did that. I couldn't believe it. I was so goofy all day long.
Sure, you got gladness.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
You're
just
goofy, weren't you?
I was just silly. I've been silly all night. My mom said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I think I got the joy of the Lord in my heart."
Oil and gladness, both of them.
I said, "I don't know." I said, "My, why?" You know, and she said, "Well, you're being crabby." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm not going to receive that one."
Because right.
I was so happy.
You had double portion.
Yeah, I was so goofy today.
You had blooming joy. Blooming. Right? You can't explain it to anyone. You got to just tell. If you'll do this, you listening a radio tape, if you just do it, it works. I mean, even why should I feel embarrassed telling people this? But you feel like maybe they won't believe you or something. You know what I mean? It's a double portion. It's joy and gladness, two spirits descending and just waiting for you. Come on. Turn around. We're right here. Turn around. Hey. Come on. Do you ever try to prompt your kids? Oh, come on now, smile. Huh, did you? Huh? You try to make them smile and they're, huh? Come on, that's it. Huh? And what do they do? What do they do? They usually end up smiling. Huh? Sure they do, and they laugh. Huh?